Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The 389th edition of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by our Patreon. Score exclusive perks and content available only to our patrons at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Patreon.
Hi, yo, DeGenerinos, and welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast, the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, episode 389, going out to Eric Does Sports, our friend in the Discord, for hitting his Mormon pudding parlay. I can't pass on giving him an episode. So this goes out to Eric. Unfortunately, I did not hit any parlays. I didn't hit much last night. I'm Jeff Chalks Fox. I swear I used to be good at picking fights, picking winners. Just go back and listen to last year's, just skip this year. Okay. Cause I'm not doing so hot, especially the past couple of weeks, but luckily the man whose reputation already preceded him, everyone already thought he was a genius at making picks. And now he's actually coming through with his picks every week. It's Dan Gumby Vreeland. Hello.
Hey, I also want to give a honorary shout out to Rob Plezintin. There's a real lot of consonants at the end, and I don't know if I'm supposed to say them all or not. But he had Matthew. He was like in line for the show dedication by having Matthew Semmelsberger wins by second round knockout, which very well could have been stopped in the second round, only to blow up in his face tremendously. So shout out to Rob. Yeah. Shout out to Rob, real close, bummed me out too.
And someone lost the Derek Lewis inside 30 seconds pick by 2 seconds.
Oh my God. Yeah. and I can't remember somebody, who that was, somebody posted that it was 200-1 in one book. And I don't know what books we're getting these from, but it was 200-1 in one book. And somebody was actually in on it at like, I want to say it was like 75-1 or something like that. So they didn't get the as big of a number, but like it was huge still. Yeah. And 2 seconds.
3 seconds, actually, now that I look it up. So that makes it not as bad. It was
I guess not. But also, that could have been stopped 12 seconds earlier. Like that fight could have been stopped after he threw the knee. No qualms if they stopped it then. Or at least after the first like 15 hammers, or the first time that De Lima rolled over to his knees, like there was plenty of time to stop it earlier. If I was in on that play, I'd have been pretty bummed.
Yeah, but it was a fun night. Most people seem to be hitting some good picks last night, so seems like it was a pretty good night for all. Not just Mormon pudding in parlay, but Blake Meyer, baseball Blake, came through with the parlay, which was like opposite of everything I pick, so he obviously doesn't listen to us. Let's see. Kush Clouds can probably make bigger Kush Clouds now because he hit a big Justin Gaethje to win and round two to start. So that one just squeaked under. How many seconds was it? 39. No, how many? 1 minute into the second round. So that one hit. So yeah, a lot of people were hitting some fun picks last night. And Gumby, sounds like you had yourself a good evening as well.
I did.
In the real world.
The Lewis KO was everything. Not that I didn't hit a thing or two otherwise, but like I was truly in on Derek Lewis doing by knockout and was really hoping it came through. So that one coming through was big for me.
Oh, and Howdy Pal too, right? He had Gabriel Bonfin to win via submission round one, and he had Justin Gaethje to win, I think, too. So boom.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
Wow. We had some people hit some very precise, precise parlays last night. So good for all you. I'm glad you all had a great time because I did not. Well, I guess the fights were okay. I find if my picks aren't coming through, the fights aren't fun either. So
these were fun fights. Was fun, and there were so many, there's so many fun things in them too.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so. All right. We'll get into it after I tell you about another fun thing. Sports Gambling Podcast has a Patreon now. Do your part in the war against corporate gambling and sign up for the SGP Patreon. Tons of exclusive content, Nope. Let's try it again. Let's try one more time, Dan. Okay. And if I don't get it this time,
you can say it exclusive content.
There you go. Ton. Oh, because it says ton. It should say tons. That's what threw me off. Tons of exclusive content, contests, and merch just for our patrons. Plus a monthly SGP Stories podcast and ad-free uncensored show highlighting the best stories from decades of being degens. There's even a Discord channel just for patrons. Sports Gambling Podcast Patreon is a great way to score. Here we go again. Exclusive perks and support SGPN. sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Patreon. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Patreon. And I think it gives you a cool looking, I think in the Discord, your name turns into gold.
Yeah. Your name turns gold. You get a little emblem. Yeah. And, this past week, if you were already in the Patreon too, they did a, free to enter UFC 291 DraftKings competition. So, you could have been in on that, but you missed out. So make sure you get in on that for the next one.
Yeah. You should have FOMO now. And hopefully you didn't. I don't think my DraftKings picks did well either. But anyhow, enough about me and my losing picks. Let's go to recap the event. UFC 291 went down in the Delta Center, Salt Lake City, Utah. And the people came out in droves. 18,467 people in attendance. 6.6 million approximately in gate. So now we see why the UFC likes to go and do their shows in Utah. That's some good money and a nice packed crowd. They did see an exciting card. As we said, there was two decisions out of the 11 fights. Yes, only 11 fights because we did lose fights. I guess we only lost one since we did the breakdown, right?
Yeah, only one since we lost the breakdown because we didn't break down Herrera. We didn't break down Paulo Costa versus Ikram Oliskarov because I don't think that, as somebody pointed out in the Discord, I think it was Turnip. So it's like, I don't think that fight was ever actually made.
No, for sure not. Yeah. So Michelle Pereira came in at 174 pounds for a 170 pound fight. They give you up to 171 pounds and he was not even close. Stephen Thompson decided he was not going to accept the fight, which is his right to do, but obviously, he doesn't listen to our showdown because he was claiming how it's an unfair advantage. But we know missing weight makes you lose fights.
Well, it's an unfair advantage when the guy you're fighting decides not to cut anymore. Like it looked like Michelle Pereira gave up on those last 3 pounds, like when he woke up. And maybe
when
like
you miss that much, yeah. But when a guy misses that much, sorry to interrupt. That's usually a sign that they're just not trying. So
the other good sign is he didn't look drawn out. Like he didn't look like he was dying trying to get those last 3 pounds off. It looked like he was like, oh, I'm 3 pounds off. Well, I'll probably take the fight anyway. And you know, what's 20% if I beat him? And props to Wonderboy, because I know there were some people giving him flack, which is insane to me. But as he put out in that statement, he's 40. His dream is still to be the UFC champ. It's not a likely possibility that he becomes a UFC champ, but like, it's not completely out of the question. Like you just need him to go in there and beat, you know, like a Michelle Pereira and then like score a wild upset win over Colby Covington. And like, now we're talking because people want to see Wonderboy. He's fun to watch. So like, I could see him getting a Michael Bisping-esque title run, or at least like a Dan Henderson late in life title shot like he got, which by the way was against Michael Bisping. But like, either of those things are possible. And like, if he takes a bad loss to Michelle Pereira, who like only won the fight because he was like a few pounds heavier and didn't have to burn cardio heading to high elevation, like that's might as well be the end of his dream. So like, I get why he chose not to do it. It makes tons of sense.
You heard the event was at Elevation last night. You heard that too?
They did mention it once or twice, man. I will give them that.
Thompson is not getting title shot after this because UFC, you play ball with the UFC. You do exactly what they tell you. If they tell you you're going to fight a guy, not just 10 years younger, but much heavier than you, and then you fight the guy. They're not even going to pay him his show money at this point.
I did see that. I think so. First of all, I think that's terrible. They should pay him his show money if he made weight. But I will say
show means he showed up.
But I will say most of the time they give guys their show money, it's because like the doctor pulled their opponent or their opponent pulled themselves or something like that. Very rarely is it when like they cancel their own fight. Cause I know that happened with JSP before Jonathan Pierce did that. And I know he didn't get paid. Like somebody came in way overweight on him and he was like, no, he nixed the fight and he also didn't get paid. So while I don't like it, it is pretty much standard operating procedure. If like he pulls himself.
Yeah, and the fighters don't seem to care enough about these money issues to fight for it, so why should we care anymore? That's my opinion at this point, so whatever. That's fine. All right, so that's why we were, long story short, that's why we only had 11 fights. We did get our main event, though. It was all that it cracked up to be for 6 minutes, at least. Most of us were hoping it would go longer than that, but it did not. And the wrong Ustin won for us, too. We were going for Ustin with the J at the front, Ustin with the D at the front, Ustin with the J at the front showed up and won the fight. Justin Gaethje, head kick. Dustin Poirier dipped right into a beautiful head kick that had him knocked out for quite a while on the canvas. He seems to be okay now. 1 minute into the second round, this is a guy who does not get knocked out either. So this was very impressive. Highlight for the highlight. Not impressive for us. Gumby was still on a high at that point from all his picks coming through, so he didn't seem to care. For me, that was just another... I could have gone 6-5 instead. I went 5-6. So I could have used that win, but I didn't get it.
Yeah. I would say I don't really feel bad about my handicap on this one because, you know, we recognize that Gaethje's dangerous and that he brawls and like that, you know, that never changed. And we said Poirier would be the sharper, more composed striker. And hey, Poirier won round one. So like,
I don't think the bot said so. Didn't the bot say it was?
I don't know what Sportivo AI said. Shout out Sportivo.
The real ones know what we're talking about.
Yeah. Quagmire, as he became so lovingly referred to. I think actually, if I remember correctly, he got it on 2 out of 3 judges' scorecards. Camijo, who is notoriously pathetic at judging fights. He's the one who scored it for Jan Blankovic. He also scored it for Justin Gaethje. So, I thought Poirier clearly won the first. He was putting in good work. I liked his pressure. I liked how he was staying away from things. And Gaethje threw a strike. Like, look, hey, I don't think he threw a head kick in their whole first fight or this fight at all. And so, like, that surprising him. Like, cool that he's got that weapon in there. It's sort of exciting because we're going to see some like maybe new matchups with Gaethje, right? Because like Poirier's fought all those top guys and Gaethje's fought most of that. Oh, I guess he's fought them all too, right?
That's where I was headed anyway.
He hasn't fought Islam.
What I'm hearing what some people are saying is winner of Islam, Chucky will fight Justin, even though Justin and Chucky Olives have already fought. So I guess if Islam wins, probably would be more likely.
Yeah, I was gonna say, do you think Chucky's gonna win that fight? No, I don't either. And then I would just say this: there was also some Twitter ramblings from a particular crazy maniac from Ireland.
Yeah, we don't need to talk about that guy. He's not going to fight.
He did say, hey, USADA with a Y this morning. He tweeted that out with a Y, not with a U.
That's how they spell it in Ireland.
USADA. Look, if he is really in the USADA pool only after that fight, how fucking funny would it be that he just like dangled that in front of Michael Chandler the whole time only to like back out and fight Justin Gaethje and like,
oh, it was so obvious he wasn't going to fight Michael Chandler. Everyone was saying that from the get-go. So,
well, and it was funny that he wasn't going to do it. then they were like, well, what if we get like three of your buddies on the Ultimate Fighter?
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, I'll do that. And I'll fight Chandler afterwards. And they're like, do you want to set a date? And he was like, nah, we'll come up with.
Yeah.
Yeah. That, yep. If he blue balls Chandler to fight Gaethje, I'm here for it. I think it's a more fun fight. Right.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And I don't think
worst fight for Conor though.
Is it though?
Like, yeah. Gaethje's more dangerous.
Gaethje's more dangerous.
And harder to put away. Like I could see McGregor knocking out Chandler, but it's hard to knock out Justin Gaethje.
But Chandler would have just wrestled him, right? Like that was the path to victory was Chandler. And Chandler was like, Chandler knew the value of beating Conor McGregor and like knew that he could just like parlay that into a title shot that he doesn't deserve. But like he wasn't going to sit there and box with him. I think Gaethje had boxed with him. And I think, you know, Conor has that left punch, you know, say what you want about him, say he's aged, say he's not the same, whatever. Conor has that left punch. Put the BMFL title on the line, because then you can make it a 5-round fight no matter what. Put Conor in there for that. I think that sells like hotcakes. I think people would pay out the wazoo for Justin Gaethje versus Conor McGregor.
Well, we're not going to talk about him, and we just did, so that's good. Right. And of course they would, yes. They would, but can Conor pass his tests and can his piss tests and can Conor get down to 155 again is the question.
Well, he's only in the WISADA pool, so.
Oh, that's true. So it's not urine test. It's an IQ test. They just ask you questions.
I think so. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Well, then he's all set. All right. So that's Gaethje Poirier. Fun fight when it lasted. Light heavyweights. We hit this one, but barely, and I wasn't happy about it. Alex Pereira beat Jan Blachowicz, split decision, 29-28, 28-29, 29-28. By the end of the, well, not by the starting of the third round, Blachowicz looked his age, battered, and really looked like he was running out of gas. Yeah, Pereira did not put his foot in the gas, which was quite frustrating. He did squeak out, like I said, he squawked out the win, Dan. He squeaked out the win. But I'm saying just barely, like I thought if he needed to do more in the third round, apparently he did enough to win the fight. When you look at the striking stats, he did. He was like landing at an 80% clip in the third round, which probably won him the fight, but he could have made it more decisive in my eyes.
I think he could have made it more decisive. I get why he wasn't rushing. I think Jan hit him a couple of times and he wasn't ready for how hard Jan hits.
Polish power. Come on.
And also I think he knew he was up, right? Like, cause he clearly won the second round and he was rolling through that third round real easy. Like, I get why he did what he did, because like at the end of the day, he's probably fighting Jiří Procházka for the belt right now. And like not messing that up by like getting tagged by Jan Blachowicz or getting like double legged. And look, I mean, he did wind up getting double legged anyway. And I think that's the only reason Camijo scores this fight for him. And he didn't do anything on top. That's a bad scorecard. It doesn't seem like it when you look at it at the macro level, but on the micro level, that scoring that round for Jan is not good. I think Pereira looked like he had some growing pains a little bit at 205, but hey, he's one fight away from being knocked cold for the first time in his MMA career. And he was not cold only like, wasn't that fight like 2 months ago?
Yeah, it wasn't very long ago. Yep, different class too, so yeah.
Yeah, so like, can you blame him for being the tiniest bit gun-shy? I can't.
It was April the 8th, to be exact.
So it's almost 4 months.
Yeah. Pereira is one of those guys like Shaq that he just, like, he dwarfs whoever he's around. Even,
yeah.
Like, he's just bigger, no matter what. He's always bigger than who he's with.
I'd love light this. Heavyweight. I'd love to see him in there with Jamal Hill, because Jamal Hill is also like weirdly big.
Yep. It's true. So you think he's going to be title shot?
Yeah.
It's
probably
the best, most marquee fight they could put together.
Yeah. Him and Jiří makes all the sense of the world. As long as Yuri's not, I don't know how many of you guys follow Jiří Procházka on Instagram, but that dude
cave.
Is.
They have Instagram in the cave.
That dude is. That dude's in caves and he's cliff diving and sometimes it looks like he's fishing, but with like his hands or something like that, you know, like he's doing weird stuff all the time.
There was a
picture of him this morning being blessed by like a Buddhist monk or something like that. And I was like, what is he up to?
Yep. He's up to something. That's for sure. and it's always interesting. So yeah, that should be a fun fight. So hopefully it happens sooner rather than later. All right, we'll zip through the rest of the card after I tell you about Underdog Fantasy. By the way, that was an underdog hit for us. Barely. By the time we recorded, it was only plus 102 for Pereira. I think he opened around plus 120. So hopefully listeners got in on him early before the number dove. And speaking of underdogs, we are brought to you by Underdog Fantasy, the NFL season right around the corner. And Underdog Pick'em is a great way to get down on a ton of NFL player props and is available in a ton of markets. Plus, plenty of opportunities to win in their daily MLB contests. And of course, make sure to enter Best Ball Mania 4, where first place gets $3 million. Echo, echo, echo. Head over to underdogfantasy.com and use promo code SGPN for 100% deposit, a bonus up to $100. That's underdogfantasy.com, promo code SGPN. All right.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Heavyweights, Derek Lewis came through and I wasn't too mad about it. By that point, my night was pretty much shot, so I didn't care that Derek Lewis bum rushed Marcos Rogier de Lima, stunned him with the knee, stunned him on the ground. I don't think Rogier de Lima ever was really hurt, but
no, but he quit.
I get the stoppage. Like, what are you gonna do when Derek Lewis is wailing on a guy, even if the shots aren't really getting through? So it only lasted 33 seconds, but it was an intense 33 seconds for Rogier de Lima. And Gumby was very happy. He had Lewis at plus 190 on our show. And then I think in the real world, he had some Lewis KO props going down, right?
Yeah, well, if you played the Lewis KO prop back when we recorded the episode, it was 270. Right. It got down to like 220-ish by fight time. But there was more value there back last Wednesday. I'm pumped about this. Also, I know you don't listen to the post-fight interviews. You usually got it on mute or you fast forward if you got it recorded.
I heard a bunch of fun stuff, yeah.
My favorite one is when they asked him like if he had planned on throwing the flying knee, and he was like, nah, I thought I'd just try some shit and hope it worked.
Yep.
So good.
Yeah, I did hear that, yeah.
So good. Yep. Really, really appreciate him as a human being. Yes. And I hope the UFC re-signs him.
He says he wants to. I just saw a headline. He wants to get re-signed. He thinks he has another title run in him. And usually I scoff when I hear Asian fighters.
It's heavyweight.
It's heavyweight and it's him. So who's to say? He's got abs now. Who's to say?
I would not be surprised if he winds up being Francis Ngannou's first opponent, though.
Yeah, that's another thing people are saying. It's a guaranteed $2 million purse is what Nagano has set up for whoever fights him. So
in their first fight was absolute bullshit, and I do mean that in every sense of the word. It was the worst one of the worst fights I've ever seen. Yep. For the level, the range between my level of anticipation for a fight and its actual payoff has never been greater, like than that fight right there. But like, what are the odds of that happening twice? They would go in there and throw, right?
Yep. You would hope so, but I would rather him re-sign with the UFC. So
me too.
Because who knows, that the UFC may get pissed off if he goes and helps out Francis Ngannou, and he may never come back that way. So that's another thing. It may be a quick payday, and it's more than he makes outside of a title fight in the UFC. I don't think he's making $2 million just for these normal fights, but you have to decide. How many more fights you want to have? If you just want to have one more fight, then sure. But it sounds like he's making a title run, and who's to say he can't? If he's doing flying knees and he has abs, Dan, who's to say?
Yeah, there's all kinds of weird shit he could be doing. So line him
just
up.
Just for the record, I made my pick before I saw that he had abs. Okay,
they looked drawn on a little bit, but like, but like, hey,
he was in good shape regardless. His face was thinner, like everything about him was thinner.
His body looked thinner too. So like, I knew it was a good sign when he came in 3.5 pounds lighter than he had to. Like, I think he was 263.5. So that's 2.5 pounds less, not 3.5. 2.5 pounds less than he had to. That means he didn't cut, because no maniac would get to the level they have to cut and then like be like, what if I lost two more pounds?
Well, so, he like, said he almost died when he cut last time.
Well, and but like some people say that and then mess up their weight cut again.
yeah. But you shouldn't have to. Well, easy for me to say, but you shouldn't have to cut for heavyweight. But
well, you shouldn't have to cut for heavyweight when you look like him. Yeah.
It is true. All right. And yeah, it's fun to if we can have Derek Lewis back at a high level. So I'm all for that. Speaking of high level fights, Dan, lightweights, Bobby Green, Tony Ferguson. Bobby Green stole this one in the last 6 seconds. Technical submission, arm triangle choke. After Tony Ferguson did some questionable defense to get out of it by kicking around like a fish before you get the hooks out and put it back in the water. Catch and release, people. Like I said, he did steal it because the announcers all had Ferguson was clear. It was going to be at least 30-27 Ferguson, maybe 30-26 because he didn't get killed. And that's what the judges judge fights on. But luckily, Green stopped the fight before it went to the judges, and we had him at minus 350.
Tony Ferguson, just for the record, had one judge's scorecard on one round. He won the first.
No, he shouldn't have had any.
He won the first on Ron McCarthy's card.
I guess. The
first you could argue because he landed some good shots in there. I wouldn't have scored the first for him, but like I'm also not calling for Ron McCarthy's certification because like he gave that one away.
Is that Big John's kid or not?
I have no idea.
Does he have a kid to do it?
If he does, it's probably Ron McCarthy to go with John McCarthy. But but no, all the other judges and McCarthy gave all the other rounds to Bobby Green and gave Bobby Green a 10-8 second. One judge did. So, yeah, I mean, like, it was a better Tony Ferguson than I expected. But he still, like, his brain still made a Swiss cheese and there's not a lot left there. I'm glad to see you cut out the slushies. Slushy-less Ferguson is a thing.
No more eating slushies. All right.
Never eat a slushie.
If he's not going to retire, then the UFC should stop giving him fights. Basically, they cut people all the time. They can cut him too.
I agree with that.
Yep. And then you can go fight in Bellator. So, and then the opener on the main card was Kevin Holland versus Michael Chiesa. Submission, Dars choke, but it was Kevin Holland doing the submitting. 239 in the first round. We have Michael Chiesa. This is one of the fights I was flipping flopping on. I'm trying to cover my tracks here because I did pick Chiesa in the end. But boy, that's what old fighters look like when they don't want to get hit anymore. He did not take well to getting hit in that fight and was flailing for takedowns and ended up getting himself caught. So yikes.
I'm fine with this because I picked Michael Chiesa and I don't believe he ever made it to the cage because I was watching somebody else fight in there.
Take that.
That wasn't, dude. At his worst, he's never looked like that. Like at his very worst, Michael Chiesa never looked like that. That was, I don't know, some shell of what he used to be. That was really pathetic. And it said Sportivo told us he retired afterwards. Is that not wrong?
Yeah, I haven't seen that. I think the bot may have been messed up there a little bit because I didn't see that anywhere myself. So the bot. So
he's got to check the sources.
Yeah. You got to be careful picking fighters who have been out of the cage for a while and that are a little bit older. Not that Chiesa is super old, but yeah, that was not good. And he will be an instant fade going forward if he continues to fight, which I'm sure he will because no one ever quits when they should.
Yeah. I just fact checked Sportivo real quick, and Nolan King actually just dropped an article a couple of hours ago that apparently he said he's going to dust himself off and he's going to be back at it.
Title run. Here we go. Title run coming up. Yeah. All right. Dan got three right. I got two right in the main card. Let's go to the main prelims. This is where Gumby's shown four straight picks for him. Gabriel Bonfim still looks like the real deal, even though we've only seen mere seconds of him in the cage.
Trevin Giles loves getting guillotine choked.
He sure does. And he got himself guillotine a minute into this fight, minute 13. And we had Bonfim at minus 325. Bonfim via submission was something that we put out there too, I believe.
Yeah,
officially, but
and there were people in the Discord I know who had him in the first round by submission, which just made sense. He looked great. He was striking well. He got Trevin Giles to panic takedown far before Gerald Meerschaert would have gotten him to panic takedown. So he's the good bomb theme. onwards and upwards for him.
The good, we keep slagging off his brother, but yes, onwards and upwards for the good bomb theme. Catchway fight, because Vinicius Salvador came in 2.5 pounds over the upper limit when you include the extra pound flyweight, and got himself a decision loss in a very yucky fight. Usually flyweight comes through.
He was shocked. He was shocked.
Oh, yes, of course. Yeah, he won. Yeah. 29-28 across the board. Neither guy looked good. It wasn't a good fight. CJ Vergara won. We had him as our pick.
I think Vergara showed promise. Like, I've just never been, like, weighing in on Vergara anyway. In fact, I even picked against him when he was on Contender Series. He beat Bruno Correa. I thought Correa was going to run through him, and he hit him with a weird knee. But, like, look, he is 3-2 in the UFC now. His only losses are to Ode Osborne and Tetsuya Taira. So, like, I don't know. Not the worst performances when you consider it all. I think he showed some decent boxing. Granted, in the grand scheme of what this night was, terrible fight.
Yep, it was. And flyweights, like I said, usually come through. This one did not go my way, even though Claudio Ribeiro had his moments when he put his foot on the gas. And then he did the thing that all smart fighters do. He rocks his opponent on the feet, and he's like, hey, let's grapple and let my opponent get the shake the cobwebs out, which is what all smart fighters do. When they have someone rock, they rush in and get themselves clinched up. So Roman Kopylov came through. He lasted in the second round, 33 seconds. Another head kick knockout. Another win for the Gumby man at minus 200.
Yeah, I had him by KO too, which made those odds a little nicer. And I have to say, how in the name did this not win a performance bonus?
Yep.
Like, this is one of the most...
Head kicks usually are automatic money for you.
One of the most devastating head kicks of all time. Did you hear the sound of it? Like,
yep, crack.
If you did not hear the sound of that and you're listening to this, go back, watch the highlight, turn it up. It's one of the most gruesome sounds. And for some reason, they're like, nah, give it to Kevin Holland, who fought a shell of a fighter anyway.
Yep. I'm sure it's Gumby's ringtone now is the crack of that head kick, right?
I do love that. It's that, and it also, my screen displays Derek Lewis dancing with his pants off.
Yep. Ribeiro had the better hair in the fight. We'll give him that. But yep. Roman,
you don't like Russian Chase Hooper?
Yeah, Chase Hooper's dad came through, so his big brother came through. And then the opening, the prelims, Jake Matthews came through. It took him a while. Darius Flowers swarmed him. Matthews seemed kind of surprised that this short notice newcomer was swarming him with strikes, but body work that Matthews was putting in on Flowers paid off eventually, and he ended up getting him down and submitting him with rear naked choke, 237 into the second round. We had Matthews at minus 240. Don't think that does much for his stock, but it does double his money because he got his win bonus, and he got us a win too.
Yeah, I would say if he was shocked by that, he should have watched any of the tape on Darius Flowers, because like all of his prior fights are that man in, and then like the ones he loses are like he runs out of gas and quits. That's what he did against Ryan Leninger when Leninger submitted him. He just like ran out of gas in the second round and quit. So like, yeah, I'm not surprised that this is how it went. I thought he maybe get him out a little bit earlier, but you know, like he's that dude's just a brawler. That's what he is, and Jake Matthews is smarter than that.
Yep. So he got the job done, and then into the early prelims, Uros Medic came through. Matthew Semmelsberger looked good until he did not. And then he got himself TKO'd, spinning back fist and punches. He was rocked before the spin even happened. 236 in the third round. But yeah, I thought his Semmelsberger minus 200 pick was looking really good. Like I said, until it wasn't.
I was surprised that all the judges gave Medic the second.
Really?
I thought that round was kind of a toss up. But like, yeah, at the same time, I really liked how Semmelsberger looked. His power is real. I mean, striking with a guy like Medic for that long is like not easy to do. Like he had a good fight in there. It is a little upsetting that we didn't get that one right, but yeah, it is what it is.
Yep, it is what it is. And then yeah, you agree, Semmelsberger looked good until he didn't.
Yeah. Definitely.
And then in the opener, did not start off well for me. Miranda Maverick looked the way we want her to look usually, Dan, except this time we didn't pick her, and she looked the way that we a hope that she would look in the past. A grapple heavy win over Priscilla Cachoeira ended up familiar with the gnarly armbar 2-11 into the third round. Miranda Maverick, her gamble taking a short notice fight paid off for it.
I just wish she would make up her mind about what kind of fighter she is, because like,
yeah,
she didn't only look good in her wrestling here. Her hands look good too. She was fast.
Yes. And she was so much smaller too. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, none of that showed up against Jesuda Vicious. And I know, you know, Jasmine is a way better fighter than Cachoeira is, but like, usually you shouldn't be able to see like a palpable difference in the fighting style of Maverick, but like you could, and that fight was only a month and a half ago.
Yep. It's true. Yeah.
She's going to be miserable. She's going to be miserable to handicap for the rest of her career.
Yeah. I was going to say, I don't think I'm fully back on board with her.
No, I don't think I am either, but I think this is at least a step in the right direction.
Yeah.
I'm going to be less hesitant on backing her at negative 200 than I was this time.
Yeah, that is true. So that concludes the 11 fight night. No fight of the night bonuses, four performance of the night bonuses. Justin Gaethje, Derek Lewis, two guys who don't need the bonus, then Bobby Green and Kevin Holland. So I went 5-6. Boo. Lost $330. I am down money on the year, obviously. I'm at 58% overall with my picks. Not good enough. I got to get back over 60. Gumby 7-4. He had himself a good night. He's at 54% overall, and he's down $400 more than I am overall. Haha. But you won 110 last night. So there is still time, Gumby.
There's time.
I missed on all my recommended plays. My lock, Poirier. My dog, Chiesa. My prop, Poatan via knockout. None of them came through. Gumby hit his Kopylov lock. He whiffed on the Cachoeira dog, and then Thompson and Pereira going the distance did not happen. They didn't even start the fight, Dan. And then the, as per usual, sometimes it hits. I shouldn't say as per usual. The Hungry Man Jong, Superfan Parlay.
I got half.
It came through. Derek Lewis via knockout. So maybe we're going to change it to the Mormon Pudding Parlay. From
Golden Mormon Parlay. Pudding Parlay? Yo, if you suggest kill. That, Jong's going to kill you.
I know, I can't take it. John was talking about some other weird sport I've never heard of in the fight Discord last night. So I don't know. He's mentioned names I don't know.
Was it left
and Crawford
way?
And no, I don't know. I don't think they're allowed to do anything.
Crawford's,
this sport.
Bud Crawford's boxing, dude.
I know. That's why I'm saying. He's weird sport where you can't do anything but punch people. There's definitely no headbutts, Dan.
When you said weird sport, I was like, oh, so you mean like, wushu karate or like.
No, nope, they're not allowed to do anything fun like that. Yeah. All they're allowed to punch, and no one ever gets hurt, really. So long term, they do. But anywho, so that was that, right? I recapped it properly. I think it.
Yeah, you're fine.
All right. Next week, we got another fight card. It's actually a pretty good one. Even though it's got a makeshift main event, it's a pretty damn good makeshift main event because it's got Corey Sandhagen and Rob Font in it. We're not complaining about that, right?
No, it's a good fight.
It is UFC on ESPN, Sandhagen versus Font. August the 5th, Bridgestone Arena, Nashville, Tennessee. So the Octagon is still traveling around the country. So we got it's a catchweight fight, 140 pounds, because Rod Font is coming in on about 2 weeks' notice, about 2 weeks.
Yeah, but this is only kind of a short notice fight because he was also supposed to fight August 19th in Boston.
Right. Yep.
And his opponent had pulled out for that. Song Yudong had pulled out for that fight. So it was like either find him a last second opponent so he could stay in Boston or back it up 2 weeks and fight Corey Sandhagen. So it's sort of on short notice, but not really.
Yep. And it should be a good one. Elsewhere on the card, Jessica Andrade versus Tatiana Suarez. That's another fantastic fight card. Somehow,
have you seen the odds on that? Have you seen the odds on that, by the way?
No, I don't usually look at odds till I pick, but go ahead. You can tell.
No. You tell me what you think the odds are on that fight.
For some reason, Suarez minus 200 is coming in my head.
Suarez minus 425.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. Like, don't get me wrong. I like Suarez. I think she's going to win that fight. But, like, not a negative 425, man. Dude, that's an absurd number against Jessica Andrade.
And this is her cutting down to strawweight again, too, for the first time.
Correct,
years and years and years, yeah. Interesting. I don't think I'm going to Andrade regardless, but we got that. Good fight. Just Dustin Jacoby, Kennedy and Zichukwu should be fun. Also Diego Lopez, Gavin Tucker, Tanner Bowser, Alexa Kamer. So we have a couple of Canadians there, Gumby, back to back. It's been a while. July was a very quiet month for Canadians, let me tell you. Ignacio Bajo Mondes, Ludovic Klein round out the main card. Prelims, Billy Quarantillo, Damon Jackson, Kyler Phillips, Haoni Barcelos, Jeremiah Wells, Carlston Harris, Sean Woodson, Jesse Butler, Cody Durden, our favorite, Jake Hadley, and Ode Osborne, Asu Almabayev. Is Hadley going to get sent back to England, Dan?
That's probably one of the more fun fights on that card, though. Am I wrong? Like that? Nope. That's like a couple of dudes who bang and wrestle, and it's going to be fun. I think Jeremiah Wells versus Carlston Harris is going to be a fun one too. Especially after seeing, you know, Jeremiah Wells like have a fun back and forth fight with Semelsberger, and knowing, you know, Carlston Harris can like, if that dude can crack. You know, he lost to Shavkat, but like, but you know, people lose to Shavkat.
Happens.
Yeah, Billy Q versus Damon Jackson's a banger. Diego Lopez getting another shot is real exciting. Yeah, this is a good card.
See, I don't even have to cue the guy up anymore. Usually I say, what do you like about this card? You know, it's been so long.
I'm also, and maybe it's because I have him on the Top Turtle MMA podcast. Make sure to listen this week. Oh. Quick teaser here. I'm having him on the show, but am I wrong in being like, I forgot Alexa Kamer was here?
Yeah. Well, you know the name.
Yeah.
I did lose track of him. It's true.
He was Stipe Miocic's prodigy. And
right,
he was,
He
came out the gate real hard, but then lost a weird one to Thick Willie Knight. And then he lost to Nicolay Legumaranu, but only because Legumaranu like grabbed the fence 31 straight times and never got penalized for it. So like,
yeah,
I don't know, like him versus Tanner Boser is kind of weird and I'd love it.
Yeah, last chance for Tanner Boser, you would think.
You would have to think, but it's probably also the last chance for Kamer. He's lost two in a row, as weird as the losses might be. Like, you can't keep losing like that.
It is true. Oh, we didn't fire anyone. Do you have anyone that needs to be fired after last night? I don't think do we? Oh,
maybe
Tony Ferguson, obviously, he's got to go.
Well, yeah, he won't be. You know, you can dream if you want, but he won't be.
I would dream.
Do you think Vinicius Salvador needs to get cut?
Oh, yeah. He missed weight, too. So, yeah, he's probably going 0-2 and missed weight. Yeah, that's probably Trevin Giles.
He lost.
He's been around,
but he was
around
also
so long.
He was also like, on
it's
a
sneaky how many fights he's had.
He was also on a 2-fight winning streak coming in.
Yeah, it's true.
Which
he's probably safe.
I can't believe I'm saying that, but he was on a 2-fight winning streak coming in. And Cachoeira, maybe, but she just beat Lipsky, and she was coming on a 2-fight winning streak too. I don't know.
Can't fire anyone. No.
Yeah. What are we gonna do?
Oh well, that's fine. Well, Merry Christmas early. Christmas in July for all you people. All right, that is enough of the recap. You guys are lucky I show up even when I make crap picks 2 weeks in a row. I was 9-4 3 weeks ago, so things were looking up then, Dan. But I am now 10-16 over the last 2 weeks. Things are going to change next week. Tennessee, it's going to be lucky for me. Until then, the Discord's the place to find us. sportsgamblingpodcast.com/discord in the fights channel in there. Even though Jong is still talking about that sport where you're just allowed to use your fists in. Where else? Top Turtle, we told you about. Listen to Dan's Top Turtle podcast. Catch us on Twitter or X or whatever it's called when you listen to this. It is SGPNMMA, Jeff Fox Writer, Gumby Vreeland. They're all the handles. Of course, the platform we have the most followers on is the one that's going down the tubes, right? That's great.
Dude, everybody's been talking about it going down the tubes forever. Yeah. And is it going well? No, it's not going well, but there's not an alternative. So, you know.
Hopefully he'll just sell it to someone, the person we shall not name. I am on Instagram. That's an alternative. Jeff_Fox_writer. I also have a Substack. Go to moneymma.substack.com. Sign up. You can get a free subscription. If you want to lock all my articles, you can get a paid one for very cheap. And a free one will get you, at the very least, will get you in the weekly pick'em contests that are on every week. And that is it. Oh, sportsgamblingpodcast.com, obviously. The mothership, our parents. Go there for all your sports gambling needs. And obviously, /Patreon. Sign up to the Patreon to help us out here. All right. We'll be back very shortly. Monday, we got our non-UFC. This is the last week for a while. We're going to do a non-UFC affiliated Monday show, right?
That's right. Yeah, because the
Contender Series is almost here, baby.
It's only, at least our first breakdown episode is about a week away.
Yeah, fantastic. Until then, Semi the Jedi will be me, Jeff Fox. Gumby, the Doctor of Vreeland, will be back on Monday too, hopefully, since I'm not going to break down LFA by myself. There you go. I told you what we're doing. We'll talk to you then. Bye.